We're going to be just repeating the verses that we spoke from this morning from John chapter 4. We're going to be reading verse 23 and 24. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the kinds of worshipers the Father seek, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you for being able to praising you and worshiping you on a daily basis. Help us, Lord, to constantly worship you, to constantly honor you, to constantly bring you glory. Please, I pray for the youth of our church and the youth for the entire world. Bless them, Lord. We pray for Sammy, Lord, to help him and his family come here sooner. We anticipate his sermon, but we want him here. Lord, we pray and we thank you, Lord, that you will fulfill our dreams. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, we're going to jump straight into the subject of praise and worship. For the ones that were not here on this morning, you have the opportunity on going online at our website this week and being able to see part one of praise and worship. What did we learn this morning? I just have a little bit of a summary. We learned that praise and worship is mandatory, right? We learned that everyone is responsible to participate in praise and worship. Worship is a matter of the heart. Therefore, we need to prepare our heart to what? To be able to listen, right? To be able to receive the Word of God, to be able to understand the Word of God, and then apply it in our daily lives. We also learn what is worship. Well, it's an action. It's dynamic. It's transformational. And is anticipatory, as in we anticipate the day we will be able to worship God in heaven. Tonight we're going to be digging deeper into the following questions. What is the reason for worship? How should we worship? And then what hinders us from worship? What is the reason for worship? The reason for worship is that through praise and worship, we are coming in God's most holy and awesome presence.
Amen.
That is the reason for, as me, human flesh, sinner, that do not deserve anything, that do not have any rights, that we are given by God, through Jesus Christ, the ability to come in His presence. Best example you can get from is from David. He had a reason. In Psalm 27, 4, says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." David, we know, was the man after God's own heart. And he recognized that to praise and worship, he dwells. And that means he lives. He sits. He stands in God's presence 24/7. We were just talking to Brother Braika, and he was telling me when he had this message for the church. We worship always, all the time. And we are worshiping anywhere we are because it's a 24/7 situation. And that's why we need to say like David, that I want to dwell in the house of the Lord, because I want to be with Him always and forever. Wayne Grudem, in Systemic Theology, writes, "Everything in our life should be an act of worship, for everything we do should glorify God."
Amen.
So the reason for worship is that we are coming in His presence, that we are in His presence 24/7, and second of all, our motivation is that everything we do should glorify God. How should we worship? There's three different forms. One is public worship, the fellowship with the church. Another one is private worship, fellowship with our family. And third is personal worship, our individual fellowship between our soul and God. Now, we're going to be spending most of our time on public worship, because that's what we do here. There's going to be a few sermons from Father Braika and other church leaders that you can learn from about private worship and personal worship. You can read from the Bible about that, and hopefully one of these days George Braika Jr. may be able to speak through you, and hopefully Sam when he comes here, about private worship. But public worship, we're going to use 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and there's a lot of verses. Week, you're going to see a big contrast about what the Apostle Paul describes as the true worship and then what our modern churches are doing. You see, in verse 26, part one, says, when you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation or interpretation. Back then, Apostle Paul says that all of us, all of you, or to worship and have something, whatever, whether it's a song, whether it's a prayer, whether it's a statement, instruction, whatever it is, that we come before in the public worship and we worship God. But see, what has happened is that we, in modern day, we are timing everything. We believe that we have too many songs, too many sermons, too many prayers. It's because we have changed praise and worship that is timeless into a timed situation. And the problem with that is that worship is sort of like the Energizer battery. It keeps going and going and going. And we have to recognize that, because praise and worship is timeless, that is not about us, and it's about God. Verse 26b says, everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Now, how should we worship? In a way that we build each other up. So whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we sing, should build our spirit, should build ourselves, and build a church. And then God's next requirement is that worship should be done in peace. Verse 33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord shall be. So the two main things is, how should we worship? Is one, should be that it should build the church, and two, should be done in peace. No reason as a church that we should always disagree or argue why and how and where we should worship, because all of us are constantly doing that worship, praise and worship. There should never be a reason why we should never allow someone to not have a say, a word, a prayer, a sermon. Because in peace, we are required to worship. Now, the last one is the most challenging one. There must be order to worship. Our worship has to be done in order. Verse 40 says, but everything shall be done in fitting and orderly way. Well, there's two reasons for that. One is that by order, we are not confusing each other. By order, we do not confuse non-believers. That's the first one. And the second one is, by order, order is necessary because it must be done in a way to build the church and done in peace. So the last one, the order, fulfills the first two requirements. Because by order, we are doing it in peace and building the church. Now, as I said yet this morning, worship doesn't end here. 3.5 hours, right, on Sunday, it goes with you home. It goes with your family. It goes with your colleagues. It goes with your friends. It goes with your teachers. What hinders us from worship? We're going to be focusing on the first three: distractions, fatigue, and judgmental. But there are many other ones: sin, pride, ignorance, unforgiveness, gossip, traditions, all those things. But see, and I try to be as judgmental, least judgmental as possible. When I look and we sing, I look at the church and I see, like everybody else that's up here, when a person can sing, or when a person sings and when a person doesn't. And for a moment there, I want to be able to get into your brain. I really do. And I want to be able to hear or see what is going on in that moment. Because I'm hoping and praying that there are three things why you're not singing, or why you don't pray, or why you don't listen. And I'm hoping that it's either because you're meditating, you're praying, or you're so overcome by joy that you're speechless. That's why I hope so. But I know myself, I'm human too. And I know how I think. And that's not true, right? It's not that we meditate, that we pray. Instead, many, many times we're distracted. We're either distracted by the people around us, we're distracted by texting, Snapchatting, Instagramming, hashtagging. You see, God wants us to be totally committed, and He wants our full attention in praise and worship. True worship is participating all together and giving our full attention to God because we are in His presence. Fatigue, even us doctors have the most trouble with this one. It never ends. A very difficult one, because you come to church, and when you come here, you're tired and exhausted. And first thing Satan tells you, it says, don't worry, here you can relax. Well, the problem with that is that God says no. See, in Matthew chapter 11, 26, says, God says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you not relax, I will give you rest, and I will give you peace. Because when you come to church, you want to rest in Jesus Christ, but you also want to be able to worship Him in peace, in glory, because He is worthy of our praise and of our glory. And our fatigue will go away, and we will be able to praise and worship with our worship with the church. Judgmental, we are our worst enemy, right? I mean, we know that we can critique everything, we know everything, we fault everything. The song was too long, the song was too short, the youth message doesn't apply to me. However, if we worship together, think about it this way. If we worship together, that means if you find fault, you have to look at yourself. Because we're worshiping together. So if my church is made out of 10 people and they all worship together, and one person complains, there's two things. There's a problem with that person, or that person is not part of the worship. So you have to look at yourself, because judging is not of the spirit. Judging is of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5:16 says, walk by the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If we walk by the spirit, we will worship God in spirit and in truth. There are many, many other things that hinders us from worship. The problem is simple. If we're distracted or tired or judgmental, you are not in the same spirit with the body of Christ, with the church. As a result, you're not worshiping your God. Well, see, unfortunately, the situation becomes even worse. That the non-Christians, the non-believers see that. They're really good at this. To see that we are not worshiping our God. And when they see that, then they are not recognizing that they are in the presence of God. They're not seeing God. And we're hiding God in the back. How do you get involved? Make the first step. You're the initiator, not me, not the pastors. You, as the individual, are the initiator. You got to make the first step. You have to let the Holy Spirit guide you. Sing with the worship team. Now, there's one thing about singing from there, but I encourage you to actually talk to Monica and get involved in the worship team. Talk to the pastors and get involved with the youth ministry. We need more people presenting to the church. I'm learning with you. I didn't go to theology school. I'm learning with you as I'm doing these things. And it's amazing how much you learn. But it's all about getting involved. How do you know that you have attained the highest level of God's presence, of praise and worship, is when even unbelievers know they're in God's presence. That's when you know you're truly worshiping, when people come to this church and recognize that God is here. God bless us. Amen.